You're listening to the AHDB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business.
Hello, and welcome to the Beef and Lamb edition of the AHDB podcast. In this edition, Chloe McKee, Knowledge Transfer Officer, talks to beef and sheep farmer Paul Renison on how he has gone from set stocking to rotational grazing on the farm in Cumbria.
Hi, I'm Chloe McKee, and this morning I'm chatting with beef and sheep farmer Paul Renison. So Paul has made some big changes to his grassland management up in Cumbria over the years, and we're going to find out how he's done it. So Paul, thanks for chatting with us today.
Hi Chloe, no problem.
Could you firstly just give us a brief overview of your farm and the stock that you've got?
We're currently farming about roughly 400 acres. We'll have about 650 ewes and 25 of our own beef cows at the moment.
So when you first arrived in 2012, what was the condition of the pasture like?
Interestingly, low pHs, which we've had to rectify with lime and Limex. And there's a lot of permanent pasture, new reseeds.
And was that one of the first things you did when you got there, was improve the pasture?
We didn't improve it to begin with because we were just sort of set stocking. And we rented half the farm out in the first year. We started soil testing and trying to get our pHs right. Yeah, so some of those fields that we first limed haven't altered at all in their pH since doing the rotation. So, and we've stopped using fertilizer, so that helps.
Oh yes,
Not make it quite so acidic.
When you first arrived, obviously you're talking about it was set stocked. When did you decide that the system needed to change? What was your light bulb moment?
Yeah, we had a light bulb moment about 5 years ago. I think it would have been 4 or 5 years ago, and we went on a farm visit to the Nellis brothers in Northumberland with a couple of local guys from around here, and looked at their whole farm really and just saw their rotation, and I saw 300 sheep on a winter rotation, and they had their feed budget planned for them, and you know, for the next month or two they knew exactly what those sheep required every day. They knew where their move was going to be. They had it all planned, and so that feed, it just wasn't a problem for them. They weren't going to worry about that through the winter. It was managed, and I just thought that was a really powerful tool and something I was going to try and implement at home.
Yes, and then I guess that allows you to plan ahead in periods of bad weather as well. Would you say that looking at your costs played a big part changing your grassland management as well?
Yeah, I think anything you can do to reduce your bills is the way forward, isn't it? I mean, there has been infrastructure costs.
So did you put good old-fashioned pen to paper, or did you use an online benchmarking tool? Where did you start?
Just put pen to paper, just did what we could to reduce our overheads.
What was the biggest benefit that you've seen from changing to set stocking to rotational grazing?
We've seen the pasture just improve tremendously. Instead of grass heading out on us in the middle of the summer, we're on top of it, and it just stays high protein, high quality all the way through the summer now.
And would you say you've seen better growth rates as well? Was that something you were monitoring before?
I think we probably, when we were set stocking, we had less sheep. We probably had better growth rates. So this is something we're trying to address with having a few less sheep now, but continue with our rotational grazing. We'll have less sheep, so less mouths on the ground. We might be able to have a longer winter rotation.
Yes, yep.
And fatten more lambs.
And did you improve, did you sow any new lays as well before changing to rotational grazing?
Yeah, we've carried on putting in some winter crops, and then behind that we go in with a new lay, but I've changed again now into putting some more herbal lays in. So I'm quite interested in seeing how chicory and plantain and different things are going to improve their diet and their mineral intake.
And they can also help with periods of drought as well, can't they, having those different varieties in there?
Yeah, we found last year ryegrass burnt off, and some of that hasn't come back. Whereas, say, if you've got a mixed species sward, the cocksfoot and chicory and things with deeper roots just live through it and start growing quicker at the end of the drought.
So please could you just briefly talk us through how you implemented rotational grazing? Where did you actually start?
The first thing I did was just went out and bought a 3-line electric reel setup, and just started splitting up some fields. We've got some 12-acre, split them in half, made acre fields. I kept on buying more and more of these electric reel setups and ended up with 3-acre paddocks, which is what we're doing in the winter. Everything goes into 3-acre paddocks. on their winter rotation, the tupping rotation. So we had some fields as well, which I've subdivided permanent fencing and semi-permanent fencing. So now I don't have to set as many reels up all the time.
Yeah, less labour intensive now.
Yeah, I mean, it's still quite high management because you're moving things often and setting up electric fences. Quite enjoyable going out there and letting the stock onto a fresh bit of grass day or every other day, whichever system you're in at the time. It's quite rewarding.
Yeah. And would you say that benefits do outweigh the time that you spend on doing it and the cost of your time?
Yeah, well, the cake wagon, it only came up here for these dairy heifers, and now we've got rid of the dairy heifers. The cake wagon probably won't be coming up very much anymore.
Yeah,
that's a good benefit.
Massively reduced your bought-in feed then as well. And are you measuring your grass growth?
Don't go around measuring it every week or anything. It's mainly in the either ends of the year where we're measuring spring grass growth for allocation on that pre-lambing rotation and getting an average farm cover before the tupping rotation, so that we know we can allocate then and we know exactly how much feed we've got in front of the ewes going into that rotation.
Would you say it's changed how you manage your stock? So in terms of body condition scoring, weaning, that type of thing?
Yeah, we do a lot of body conditioning scoring now in the back end of the year. So all our leaner yows will go into a group for mollycoddling, get them to try and gain a body condition, say if they're 2.5 or so. And the fitter yows go up on the allotment on the lead up to tupping. And then so we can save grass down in our fields on the field rotation and just prioritise for those skinnier sheep.
So managing your ewes according to their body condition score in the rotation, has that improved your fertility as well?
Yeah, I think it has improved our fertility because we getting all the sheep to 3 to 3.5 body condition score. We're tupping them all in one big mob, which is good for our labour, because I only just check one group of sheep at tupping time. They're multi-sire mated, so we're not chasing the sheep around, rattling them. We've got this winter rotation. It lasts for, you know, however many paddocks we've got. It'll be about 60 paddocks or so, 55, 60 paddocks. And then the sheep go inside on silage, and we are getting about 176% scanning percentage, which is working well for us on an outdoor lambing system. We've tightened up the lambing period. We use a mineral drench pre-tupping, and then we use a mineral bolus at scanning time.
Okay, and do you do that? Is that a result of any testing that you've done beforehand, why you use those minerals?
We've done some testing. We had low iodine levels and cobalt, selenium. Along this fell edge, seem to be quite low in minerals, so something we've worked on with the vet. We tried lots of different types of bolus as well, and now seem to have come onto one drench that seems to work for us and a bolus that seems to work for us. So the traditional rotational thing is they go in at 7 centimetres and leave at 3 or 4. Leave a residual of 3 or 4 centimetres. So if it's not really enough, and I'm thinking that recovery times would benefit if the residual was longer, and also if the roots were longer in the grass, would we get more minerals out of the grass? So that's another thing I'm constantly thinking about.
That's interesting. Yeah, so you're thinking about leaving a bit more in the field and removing the sheep a bit earlier.
But it's just very, very difficult with sheep. They seem to, you leave them an extra half a day and they've gone and taken it down. So you've got to be on.
And obviously there's other grazing systems out there. Do you have any plans for your rough fell ground?
Yeah, we've got 137 acres of rough allotment. We're going to try out 18, 20 acres of it with cattle grazing this sort of mid to late summer. We're in an agreement with the Countryside Stewardship, and they wanted us to not graze it until the end of June for ground birds. And so after that, I'm going to set up single line fence, electric fence up the middle of it, and then subdivide it into blocks and install a new water system as well, quick release water troughs.
And will that water trough be shared amongst all the paddocks, or will that need to be in every single one?
I'm in the process of trying to order some of these fancy water troughs from New Zealand. So the idea is that the main line's going to be, well, very handy, and there's going to be some T-junctions that I can quickly pull out and then move the trough, which is plastic trough, down sort of another 20 or 30 yards into the next break, quickly screw it back into the main line, and then we're away.
So the mixed farm is really important for your system now that you're cutting out artificial fert.
Yeah, I think it is anyway. I think as an industry we're probably trying to specialise at the detriment of the environment probably. And so we end up with a sheep farm with 2,000 sheep and very low covers, and then we've got problems with water infiltration and dairy cows that have lots of slurry. If we have smaller numbers with more manageable muck solutions on straw systems or deep bedding on, you know, we could be some other litter, that muck is going to be more readily uptaken by the microorganisms in the soil, and we're going to have healthier soils instead of making everything acidic all the time.
Yes, and then in turn that should reduce your artificial inputs as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think the whole thing is just to try and farm more in sync with nature. That's a kind of I've been coming up with the last few years. I suppose I'm turning into a yoghurt knitting, woolly jumper wearing sandal wearer. I do think it's probably the way forward.
But well, if it's making money as well.
Yeah, you've got to be realistic as well, not be a dreamer. But it's we've all got to make money, but we've got to probably in the future try and find different ways of making that money.
So finally, what would your advice be to anybody considering changing from set stock into a different grazing system?
One of our main problems here was our boundary fencing wasn't very good to begin with. So we spent an awful lot of money on wall top wiring and walling and putting decent boundary fences in, because you find that when you start tightening them up in the middle of the field, and then they look for escape routes around the outside. So got to get that outside sorted out and stock proof, and also the water is probably your most limiting factor. So we've started putting in tanks that get fed by natural supply further up the hill. We're lucky here because we're on the side of the Pennine, so we've got plenty of altitude.
Well, thank you very much for your time today, and good luck with your future plans. I'm sure we'll have to have another catch up to see how you're getting on.
Thanks very much, Chloe. Nice to speak to you.
Thank you.
Visit ahdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information. And follow us on Twitter at @theahdb to stay up to date.
That's all we have time for now. For more information, read our Better Returns Programme manual, Planning Grazing Strategies for Better Returns, which can be downloaded from the AHDB website. Our next AHDB podcast is with AHDB Potatoes, looking at education with Elsa Healy and Sue Lawton, with a specific focus on Grow Your Own Potato Scheme in schools. Thanks for listening.